Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This is our, I don't know, it's about the 15th podcast we've done this week, so I don't know what we're doing. Bracket rundown, right?
Yeah, it's the bracket under the radar rundown report.
Okay. I am your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by John Salica down below, David Griggs, John Titel off to the side here. And bracket rundown is, well, let me, very briefly, when the NCAA tournament committee meets in March, they go ahead and they have three jobs, basically. They need to pick the at-large teams. They need to create a seed list of all the at-large and automatic bids together, 1 through 68. Then they got to create a bracket.
Yes.
What we are going to be doing during this show is those first two steps combined into one, do them at the same time.
We're going to
pick and seed the teams until we have all the at-large bids filled.
Right.
Fill in the rest of the automatic bids. And then as far as the third step of bracketing, we're going to do it after the show. And it's down there, David, somewhere.
Right? Yeah, it's right. Well, it's right below us right now. Okay. So essentially what we're doing is we're looking at what the committee does, and we're doing nothing like that as far as this procedure. They have voting. They vote teams in. They vote teams out. They have a process for seating. What we're doing is nothing like that. But that's okay, because for this particular exercise, we don't give a damn about what the committee is going to do. We're not trying to guess what the actual committee will do in March, or suppose what they would do if they were picking the field now. We have a selection committee guessing expert that does that. That's not what this is.
Well,
hi, John. Yeah. Titel. He's
well, John Titel is going to give us his insight on what the committee is actually going to do when you two get the picks wrong. So he is here, Ed. Let me go ahead and pull up the screen that we're going to be using for the night on right here. And as you can see, it is a list of the of 1 through 68. We have the seed numbers, roughly the seed numbers there. The 1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s are right. When you get to the 11 and 12 line with the first four and the extra teams in there, it's either on the 11 or the 12 line that the extra teams come in. So,
yeah, based on how under the radar is going, it might be on the 9 line.
Well, that's true also. What I'm going to do is ask each of our panelists here to, at a predetermined order that I just figured out 3 seconds ago, to give me the next best four teams that they have. We will go ahead and list those four teams up there. We'll have a little bit of debate back and forth. If there's generally a consensus among the three of you on a team, on the teams, then we leave it alone. If there is a bit of a debate there and somebody needs to make a final call, I'm going to be the one making the decision as to who was the most convincing in their arguments, and that's just because I'm the host and I get to make the rules up.
I want to be the host.
Well, maybe next week, David.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
By the way, folks, we're not going to be having a show next week. And we will have a show next week. David will not be hosting. But let's go ahead and go right into this. A couple terms that we're going to be using real quick. We may use the term protected seed. Basically, that means the teams in the top four lines, is top 16 seeds. We may use the term first ballot team. That kind of goes 1 through 8 lines, the top 32 teams. Bubble are the teams that are just barely in or just barely out of the field. We also have some numbers up here that are going to be populating NETs. That's the NCAA's main metric, the net rating, KenPom rating, team strength of schedule, and our colleague Joby Forts and his JNG ratings, which is the best computer metric in predicting the actual NCAA tournament field.
Yeah, he has quantified a qualitative process. It's amazing.
It's not quite as good as some of the selection committee guessing experts like Mr. Titel, but in terms of a computer, it's the best one out there. So, David, I'm going to give you the distinct honor of going first this week.
Okay, and just a new rule here. I will not be overruled. You will abide. So anyway, here we go. First, I do think we are agreed on the overall number one is Baylor. I kind of the next four. I basically have 5 1 seed caliber teams, and I kind of go back and forth. Right now, I have Gonzaga up there overall. I understand that an argument could be made that they shouldn't be that high, but I do have them as the number two overall. They have not had the best of weeks. They did lose 2 consecutive games, but the top of Duke's profile is so good. I just can't get them below the 1 line, and it's the same with Kansas. The fifth number one seed is San Diego State, but when I look at Kansas, Duke, Gonzaga, and Baylor and see that not only have they beaten protected seeds away from home, they've beaten multiple protected seeds away from home, and San Diego State is not. I just, as good as I think the Aztecs are, and as highly as they're ranked, I can't get them up on the one line because I know that I'm probably the only one that doesn't have them up there.
Well, Tytel, what do you think about that? Having the team that I think is a little bit questionable here, maybe even Duke more than Kansas, but having those four teams and not having an undefeated San Diego State team on that line.
I think the argument can be made, as David eloquently did. I love undefeated teams, as viewers of this Thursday night show have seen many times in the past. So feel free to put up the profile. But I understand they're not in a Power 5 conference. I understand that Duke has been amazing against some great teams, as we see in Tier 1 there. I like undefeated teams, so I would put San Diego State in. But I agree with Chad that it's not necessarily that Duke would be out. I think that Kansas could also be out. And especially after all of Kansas's week, I would have no problem, just from a karma standpoint, kicking them to the two line.
And that's interesting because, you know, I mean, obviously we've got to talk about this briefly here. We're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But in terms of, as far as Kansas goes, you know, the fight, D'Souza out for 12 games, a few other guys, a few other suspensions coming out of that nasty fight with K-State. But they did technically win the game, first of all. Although it's a Tier 3 win, it's not a very good win. But
right.
But I guess what you guys say is when you judge this team at the moment, I think we got to judge them on the profile they have right now. Now, yeah. They may have trouble coming up here in the next couple of weeks if they're, as they are shorthanded, maybe they slip up a few games. But
yeah, that's a good point, Chad. They will be without some key players. D'Souza out 12 games,
but he's already missed nine.
So we're talking about a guy that is going to end up playing less than a third of the games. I don't even know if you factor in his absence, because what has he really even done when he's been there?
True. But
I think that's a fair point, because when you compare Kansas to last year, when Azubuike was missing, that was because of an injury, but he was a much more critical piece of the pie, and that's right, why Kansas ended up losing the Big 12 for the first time since World War II.
Where are we going here? Big South status. Oh, here we go. Stalika, though. Yeah. What do you think about this? I mean, Tytel says that we need San Diego State up there, maybe in place of Kansas, maybe in place of Duke. Do you think they should be there, or do you think David got it right?
Well, I think the good on Duke's profile is certainly ranks up with anyone up here, but the problem is when you have a loss at Clemson and also a loss at home against SFA, that's going to bring it down a little bit. And I think San Diego State, while certainly not the most daunting of schedules, they're still unbeaten and they're still plowing teams into submission. So I probably would have the Aztecs up here for the time being.
With Duke out.
Can I do something that might shock you? It's way out of character. Even though I didn't have them up there, and even though they don't check a box for me, which is not power conference, but wins against protected caliber or protected seeds away from home, I still think that this San Diego State team is good enough to be up. It's not insulting if the committee puts them up there. They are really good.
And as we mentioned with those JNG ratings, as you see, we now have his top four teams, which is exactly what the...
Okay, no, now I definitely want Duke up there.
Well, Sleek, let me go to you for the two line, though. I mean, I really think Duke should be number five overall, but it is your line, so I'll let you make the call.
Well, if you saw the bracket I had posted on Monday, I actually had Florida State a little bit ahead of Duke right now. And granted, Florida State does have a win at Louisville. That's definitely going to help their profile. But granted, we are talking about one true road win at a protected seed, which is exactly what a Duke would have. And their only real wart to speak of is going to be a loss at Pittsburgh, which is, I suppose, comparable to a loss at Clemson in some ways, but I would still give the Noles the slightest of edges for the time being, but Duke would definitely be my number six team overall.
I have two more. Yeah.
I'll go ahead and add Michigan State and a red hot Seton Hall team to round out the two line.
I kind of like the pick of Seton Hall all the way up to the two line. This team is playing great basketball right now, aren't they?
Not only that, they've been playing great for 6 weeks without their big man, Sandru Mamukelashvili, who I think is due back on January 29th, which is next Wednesday, if I read correctly the other day. Especially with Romaro Gill in his place, the big 7'2 guy, who's been not only blocking shots but converting on the offensive end. I would love to see Coach Willard put in some sort of Twin Towers thing with them, but obviously I leave the coaching to him. He leaves the bracketology to us. I think that I want to throw Louisville under consideration here just to see how they stack up with the numbers. Winning at Duke, even though SFA can do it, is not an easy thing, and Louisville deserves a lot of credit for that. As you can see, four very good rankings across the board. I like John's picks. I like John's picks.
You like John's picks. All right, David, I'll give you one last final word here. Let me pull up Louisville maybe against Michigan State, who we didn't really discuss, except I don't know how to spell Louisville. So, but what about this Louisville team? Do they belong up here, in your opinion?
Not quite this high. I have them high. In fact, I thought I had them higher than the rest of you would. I had them on the next line down. One of the teams, I know that, like Tytel brought them up, but what about Oregon? I mean, the top of Oregon's profile is really good. I guess I know that Louisville probably has the best singular win. And while wins,
it's the same when Stephen F. Austin has, come on.
Yeah. But, you know, when I look at Oregon and, you know, they did beat the Seton Hall team we're talking about, I think that, well, up until last night, they were the only team that won at Michigan, won at Washington when Washington had their starting point guard. I think that the sum of that adds up to a little more than what Louisville has. And while they do have the loss to Wazoo.
Well, they have something even worse. They have a loss to North Carolina.
That's not worse. That's not worse.
And how do
that
we
was,
say
that was Cole Anthony's North Carolina?
It was a full strength North Carolina team. I'll give him credit for that. But
But I mean, again, how much do you want to ding them for the Wazoo loss, or was it just sort of an isolated incident where the rest of their profile, they're beating really good teams and doing it either on neutral floors or in road games? I like this Oregon team.
So I think at the end of the day, we're going to leave this two line alone, but Louisville and Oregon, I think, should be here on the three line. It's not my call, the three line, though. It's Tytel. It's your call.
So I want to put Louisville on the three line. I want to put Dayton in there. I think I want to put West Virginia. And then as far as some under consideration teams to figure out who the fourth should be, even though Butler's been fading fast, they've been doing it against some decent competition, the Big East. So I think both the Big East teams, Villanova and Butler, belong under consideration here. And then if we look at the numbers, I think that nobody stands head and shoulders above the rest. Obviously, if it comes down to Villanova-Butler, we have to go with the team on the third line who beat the team on the one line. And I liked Oregon when they beat Arizona and everybody else. I didn't like them when they lost to Washington State. So I would slide the Wildcats in to the three seed.
Well, let's take a quick look at that. And Salik, let me ask you, I'm going to put this Villanova profile up versus Oregon here on the screen, because I think it's an interesting debate. You know, when you have Villanova over there on the left, no bad losses, only real good road win, though, is at Creighton. Oregon, on the other hand, did win at Washington, did win at Michigan, did win at Utah. Neutral court wins against Seton Hall and Memphis. So there is some strength there, but the top of Villanova's profile might be a little better, isn't it?
We say it's only a win at Creighton, but the Blue Jays have actually been red hot themselves. Mm-hmm. They have a win at Xavier that may be looking better. They made DePaul look like, well, vintage DePaul last night, at least by recent Big East standards. Oregon, again, let me make one correction. With their win at Washington, that was with Quad A Green out of the lineup for the Huskies. But
good point.
They also did beat Michigan when the Wolverines were full strength compared to right now, where they've been kind of sputtering of late. So I give the Ducks a little bit more credit for that. But by the same token, I do have to dock them a little bit for the loss at Washington State. So it's kind of a tough call, but I would give Villanova the slightest of edges, but I wouldn't be offended to see Oregon in their stead.
Yeah, and David, I think that's the way to go is Villanova. I think that's a pretty convincing argument that, you know, especially because you can't give as much credit to that Oregon win over Washington.
Well, you can if you want to. It's the committee. We can do what we like.
Well, David, why don't you go ahead and give me the four line then? We've got Oregon and Butler both under consideration.
Yeah, and those are my next two. So I've got Oregon and Butler and Kentucky and a team. here it is. I actually can't believe that they're up this high, but when I look at who all's around them, I actually have Penn State is the last protected seed.
Yeah.
I like how they've been playing lately. I know that they did hit a skid where they strung together some losses, but they've got road wins. They've got a win at Michigan. Again, we talked about that a second ago, and I think just this past week, their profile has improved a ton.
Yeah, at Titel, how about that? The Nittany Lions, you're looking at that. I mean, they have three wins away from home in Tier 1 up there. It's including two of them in that Tier 1A category, the ones that are in italics, kind of the top half of Tier 1.
I'm hanging out with some buddies this weekend from the Midwest, and they were commenting how it seems like the entire Big Ten belongs on, like, the five line, it seems like. But I'll turn it back to that. I mean, when you win at the rack in 2020, I assume that is, like, unheard of.
They didn't win at the rack, though.
Oh, sorry, they lost their oil. Yeah. Put them down.
Won at Michigan. They won at Georgetown. I mean, you know.
Let me throw another Big Ten team up here, though, to compare them to. Penn State versus maybe Maryland. I mean, they're missing the true road wins other than the win at Northwestern, but they've got a lot of it going on here, Tier 1 and 2, and nothing bad. They don't have the Ole Miss loss, for example, that Penn State has.
If you had asked me this question on Monday, I probably would have given Maryland the slightest of edges here. But Maryland struggled like hell just to beat Northwestern on the road, which, strangely enough, in the Big Ten, even Nebraska and Northwestern, they're clearly below the other 12 teams in the league. But they've been kind of feisty themselves at home this year. But by the same token, that would not have been a good loss for a Maryland team that only has that true road win to go along with their three neutral court wins down in Orlando. So even though Michigan was shorthanded, I still have to give the Nittany Lions some positive marks for that road win last night.
Yeah, I'm not big on Maryland at all. I actually have several teams in this conference ahead of them, including one I'd rather not.
Well, let me throw a couple questions over to Titel first. First of all, the Maryland at Northwestern game. Do you think the committee is going to look at that as a game that Maryland trailed for most of the game and came back to win? Or are you going to look at that as an 11-point win over Northwestern and move on?
I would say the latter, although you raise a good point, because when you're in the – when the committee is in the committee room in about 8 weeks or whatever in New York trying to figure out where all these teams belong, I don't know how closely they look at every single game, because there's so much data out there. I don't think you can drill down and, like, figure out, oh, Northwestern was destroying the Terps in the first half, and had they not choked it away, then Maryland would have lost on their resume. I know that each conference has its own representative, and each selection committee member is responsible only for some primary conferences, but that's a good point that I don't know if they drill down. I think they just, with so much data and teams out there, just look at the win on the resume.
Well, what's the good on their resume? Good isn't as even – okay, put Rutgers up there next to Maryland and tell me why Maryland is better than Rutgers. And then watch them play and tell me why Maryland is better than Rutgers. See, that is quite a profile. What profile have you got there? That is amazing.
But seriously, Rutgers, I hate to take the negative on my own team. Had they pulled out the win at Illinois or the win at Iowa, which were both games that they could have won, you have that road win and Tier 1 and Tier 2. It's all been at home in 1 and 2, and that's where
– Well, so I is there. I think Seton Hall
– Maryland at least has the neutral court wins in 1 and 2, so that's where the difference is. But let me – Titel, let me go back to you, though. Do we have those four teams right, or is there somebody else that should be in here with these four?
That's mostly right. I like that Maryland is getting some – discussion here. I think I would put my Wildcats under consideration. I'm not sure if they're going to win a road game all season in the Pac-12, but I think they have, as we'll see in a second, some very low numbers that compare favorably to Maryland as well as the other teams on the board here. But I don't think there's any glaring omissions from the four line as it stands.
Okay, why don't we leave the four line as it is then? Woo-hoo! And Stalika, you're up next with the five line.
Yeah, now you're going to see why I'm not going to be raising much objections, because we look at some of the alternatives right here. I would go ahead and put Maryland at the top of my five line right here.
And just the entire Big Ten Conference for the rest of it?
Unless Creighton is replacing Nebraska in the Big Ten, but I think the Blue Jays have played hot enough of late that we can go ahead and add them. And
I like that pick.
This one, I know it's probably going to cause people to cringe on here a little bit, but I do think Colorado needs to actually be on the five line, if not at least considered.
Colorado, I think they should be either on the five or the 15 line, one of the two. Go ahead.
And then I'm going to go ahead and get on their bandwagon, and that's going to be Wisconsin here.
I love that pick. David, you tried to do this last week with Wisconsin, and we shot you down.
Yeah,
this week I think that Wisconsin does belong up here.
Well, yeah, because I mean, naturally, like what I said last week was brilliant. I don't like Maryland. I like everybody else. It teams that I have ahead of Maryland that have not been nominated include Illinois, Rutgers, Iowa.
Hold on one second, David. We had the discussion on Maryland already. Let's talk about a couple of these other teams here. What about the choices of Wisconsin and Colorado specifically?
I have Colorado slightly ahead, but I really like both of them. I had them close to this range.
You do like them. Tytel, do you like Colorado this high? I mean, I guess I had a little bit of trouble seeing it. I mean, you beat Dayton and Oregon at home, and you lost to Northern Iowa at home. You lost to Oregon State at home.
Well, I have two different biases here. One is recency bias, that on January 18th they got destroyed in Tucson. And sure. Two is Wildcat bias, because on January 18th they got destroyed by Arizona. I think that I can rank them, I think, on the same line. Okay. I would have a problem, biased as it is, having Colorado a line above Arizona.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about your Arizona team, because and Sleek, let me ask you about this here, this team on the left here, because they've got three wins in the top two tiers, none of them on the road, nothing tier 1A. I mean, although it's fairly close to being a tier 1A, the win over Colorado, it's not. Where is it?
Well, we're talking about Colorado and Illinois, which are probably two wins I would give more weight to, just because you're looking at likely NCAA tournament teams.
Okay. And
Colorado, I think if we go by the same judgment, they'll get a little more credit for beating Dayton on a neutral court, which for all intents and purposes, you could also look at as a road win, because quite frankly, there were a lot more Fire fans in that building, but that's not how the NCAA is going to weigh it.
Yeah. But as far as the Arizona profile specifically though, I can be convinced that this is an 8 or a 9 seed right now, quite honestly. No offense, Tytel, but
yeah,
I know the metrics are there. I know the top 25 rating is there. I'm just looking for the meat in the profile.
That's kind of where I am. I mean, I can't get past no road wins yet. Now, having said that, this team has been playing really well in the couple of weeks, and I think that when those opportunities come in the future, their next three or four games are on the road. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they won the next three. And then suddenly, yeah, they are up here.
Exactly, and I agree with you 100%. They win these next three, which are all winnable. I'm higher than this.
Yeah, and I know they beat Colorado at home, but I think Dayton on a neutral floor is better than Colorado at home. I think Oregon at home is better than Colorado at home. I mean, I know that's kind of a funny thing to say. Colorado beating Oregon at home is better than beating Colorado at home. Interesting. I don't think I've ever evaluated a team quite like that before, ever. I just think Colorado's got a little more meat. But having said that, Arizona gets the next three, which I think, honestly, they will win all three of those.
Well, let me go back to you, Tytel, to defend your Wildcats here. And is it more of an eye test here, especially with those scoring margins in the Illinois, the Colorado, and the Arizona State games? Is that what you're looking at?
The metrics, like, we're better than them in net and not RPI, but strength of schedule and non-conference strength of schedule. I understand not JNG. Joby said, as soon as we actually win a road game, then they'll bump us up, which I get. So if you want to have them as Colorado higher than Arizona today and then see if we destroy ASU and Tempe on Saturday night and then want to bump us, that's fine. I can wait.
Not only could I see Arizona getting those three wins, I could see Colorado picking up a couple losses at home the way they've been playing lately too, so even against Wazoo. But so let's leave this – I think we're going to leave this as is for now with these four teams. And move back to you, Tytel, for the sixth line, which I assume is going to start with your Wildcats.
If it doesn't, we're going to have some strong words. I'll tell you that.
Okay.
As far as three other teams, I know Iowa's been up and down, but I think that they belong here. I was going to do another Big Ten team, but I've heard that they did not do so well tonight, nor have they done so well for the past month or so. So I think that we're going to leave the Buckeyes. If you want to put them under consideration, you can.
We can. There's a different Big Ten team we can maybe discuss, but go ahead. Not even that one.
I've been really impressed by LSU. The fact that they've just been kicking butt, frankly, in the SEC, beating teams good and bad, makes me think that they're not just a football school after all. As far as a fourth, I think that Rutgers can be under consideration. I would still lean Wichita, but I think that your boys are under consideration here.
David, I want to ask you about this. So we'll put Wichita in there. Let me throw. What about another Big Ten team? What about Illinois?
That would have been my next two. Like, so we're talking 21 and 22 are Illinois, then Rutgers, then Iowa. I just think that like when you look at Illinois again, the top of their profile is really good, and you get the sense that they're playing better and better. I know that that's not an actual criteria, but they've improved a lot as the season's going on, and they're really breathing fire now. Can we get Illinois up? Oh wait, there they are. The win at Whiskey, the win at Purdue. I know Purdue is maybe the most schizophrenic team in the history of college basketball, but I mean, still to get that win there. And for the most part, if you kind of ignore the loss to Missouri, they've avoided bad losses.
The Miami loss is mediocre because it was at home. But Salika, what about Wichita State on the left there? Nothing in Tier 1. Now, they've got a lot of top of Tier 2 wins, but and they only have three losses. Is that enough to put Wichita State on this line?
No, the problem is Wichita State's losses recently where they lose at Temple and then get blown out at home against Houston, even if the final score doesn't indicate it. I'm frankly down on the whole American Conference right now. It's not just Wichita. Memphis got their asses kicked, and I do mean literally and completely by 40 points against Tulsa. I don't think we should mention – oh, and UConn is also beating Houston, so – maybe we shouldn't even mention the American until we get to the 9 line.
Yeah, we are recording this about 9. It's about 9:45 right now on January 23rd. So any games that go final after this evening, there's a couple big ones still coming up, especially in the Pac-12 tonight, are not being under consideration here. Tytel, let me ask you about this Wichita State pick here. I understand the impressive overall record might be a factor in there. We haven't mentioned Auburn, and they've got an even better overall record, and they've done something in Tier 1. So why do you go with Wichita over Auburn?
Talk about two teams trending down. Not only have they both lost last week, they both lost on the exact same days to Tier 1 teams. To Tier A teams, obviously Tier 1A, Auburn, Tier 2A for Wichita. No, they're both trending downward, and I agree with John that the whole conference of the American is trending downward. Auburn deserves a lot of credit. Obviously, like, they've had some bad, big losses last week. So I think that while you can sub them in here, I don't know that I would feel great about putting any of them in here over anybody who I already suggested.
I mean, they did bounce back with the win over South Carolina, that's much. David, so what do you think? Do you think that we have, Tytel has these teams right here, Arizona, Iowa, LSU, Wichita? We know we have Illinois and Auburn under consideration here as well at this point.
I think I would I would swap Illinois for Wichita.
And given that we all decide that we don't like the American right now, I'll go ahead and make that switch for you.
I would be more than happy with that switch right there.
And we are up to the 7 line. And, David, that is your line.
Yeah, so I'm kind of getting situated here. The next team I have to.
Yes, do it.
I do. Okay, Rutgers is – yes, that's the next team in. Okay, and I actually have the next American team, I have them both on this line back-to-back. I have Houston and Wichita as the next two. Houston losing at home to UConn right now, so we might be performing a scrub and letting people see how that is.
Still the first half, isn't it?
Yeah, the other team that I had in also lost tonight, so I don't want to admit that it was Ohio State, so I won't. And Marquette is probably the next team I have.
Okay, so we'll go with Marquette instead of Ohio State for now.
Yeah.
Tytel, what do you think? Do you think you got him right here?
I don't like Houston this high. I understand that their metrics compare favorably, especially with their conference foe, Wichita State, but it's certainly trending in the wrong direction, especially as we speak. I would throw Michigan under consideration. I know they're not going to be here because they lost badly to a good team at home the other day. I don't know what Power's going to do. It seems like, I don't think it's panic mode, but they're missing Isaiah Livers big time. And talk about like a team with something on its resume standing so far and away above everything else. I don't know if I can think of a team with the Gonzaga win standing so high and above everything else on its resume.
Maybe Stephen F. Austin. Yeah. But yeah, no, that Michigan, I think that's an interesting thing here because while they have a lot of losses now for this point of the season with seven of them, they're all tier one. They're not, there's no bad losses there. But that they haven't, no true road wins though.
Is bugging the hell out of me. I just can't. And I know that I'm more in tune to that than the rest of you, but it's hard to win on the road, and teams that have done it, that's even if it's not even against the best teams, that's who I tend to favor.
Well, John, let me ask about another team maybe to replace Houston, if that's a team we got to pull out. What about Arkansas?
Oh, Arkansas, I would have felt a little bit better about putting them in there had they at least won at Mississippi State. I mean, even Auburn was able to pull that off right now. But I'm going to go with another dark horse that Chad has kind of teased at in the past. What about a USC right now? Ooh. Because they have a neutral court win against LSU that's looking much better by the day. Even their road win at TCU getting better and beating Stanford at home and
Didn't you just rip Wichita for losing to Temple? I'm just asking you.
I did. And granted, losing to Temple at home is certainly not going to be a good look for the Trojans, but they have gotten much better as the season has progressed.
Tytel, let me ask you. You're a Pac-12 guy. Does USC belong up here at this point, especially off that Stanford win?
I mean, Chad deserves a lot of credit. He's been on the USC bandwagon for several weeks now, and I had not been a believer, but I'm starting to believe. And I agree with John. The LSU win is looking fantastic these days. I have them closer to the nine line, so I guess they could be in discussion up here. But I think that, like, even though Ohio State is, like, on life support, arguably, like, they put together a hell of a November and December. I understand the season doesn't end on New Year's Day, but as you'll see, like, they have a lot of tier one stuff. I mean, beating Kentucky and Villanova in any year would make you like a one seed. I understand that they're fading, but.
I knew Dabo Swinney broke the Ohio State football program, but I didn't realize that was going to spread to the entire athletic department for Ohio
State Swinney has broken Ohio State.
But you look at that, they won at North Carolina back in December. Big. David, maybe he's right. Maybe we should have Ohio State instead of Houston. Or should we just leave this? Well, this was your line, so I can't ask if I should leave the line alone. You will say yes.
I had them. I mean, I did have them up here and then kind of moved them down after they lost at home to a team that had not won a road game all year.
Well, I'll tell you, we do want to keep things moving, so I think we're going to go ahead and leave this line alone here and ask Talika for the next line. I think that Ohio State, USC, Cup, Auburn, even our teams that we should be seriously looked at, though, in this eight line.
This is going to be a little bit tough, but I think I'll go ahead and add both Michigan and Ohio State right here, even though they are slipping here. But by the same token, they're going to be dangerous eight seeds at this point because they've shown they're capable of beating anyone in the country, but they haven't done it consistently lately. And I'll give you another team that's in progress right now, but if they can hold on against at home against Michigan State, I think Indiana is also going to be looking good for consideration themselves as an eight seed. But I'm going to hold off on that for now. I'll add USC as my third team for the eight line right here, and I'll go ahead and put Auburn at this point as well.
Well, you're not putting Indiana in?
No, not
okay.
yet.
Okay. Okay. I thought you were putting them in. Okay. I was about to say, how can we not have Auburn in yet? But now they are in.
I actually don't like Auburn that much. This is the 8 line. So you're looking at matchups in the, you know, round of 32 matchups against one seeds. And I think it's time to pull out the Missouri Tigers.
All right. Since we're not going to listen to David anymore, Tytel, what about this group here? I personally think it's a solid group, but do you agree with it? Michigan, Ohio State, USC, Auburn?
I'd kind of rather see them all in the college football playoff, frankly, because those are four football schools. But it's all pretty – well, USC's fading in football, obviously. I think that's reasonable. I would also throw a team under consideration like Stanford. I know, obviously, they've not had the best week or so. But I think we're starting to get into hold your nose territory. So I don't see that there's teams who have won like 7 of 8 who belong above any of these four. So I'm okay with this 8 line.
All right. Well, Tytel, why don't you give me the 9 line then? And Stanford, Indiana, Arkansas under consideration at the moment.
I would put them all in there. I would also throw in Marquette, which is based on, again,
we got Marquette at 7 line, actually.
All right. I mean, I would throw them down to the 9. No.
Okay.
For the 4th. If we have already got Indiana in here, we do. I think that maybe Florida, I would also put Texas Tech under consideration. I know Florida just lost the other day, but they also, they've been a weird team. I can't figure them out really. Up and down and up and down all season long. I think that if I was a one seed, I would hate to see them in the 2nd round because they've shown that they can beat or play with anybody. That being said, I also don't know that I would guarantee them to win an 8-9 game. It's a schizophrenic team, in my opinion.
Well, let me ask you. We got Florida up there. Let me ask you about another team, though. You mentioned Texas Tech. How about another Big 12 team? How about Oklahoma here?
I think that certainly should be under consideration as well. Obviously, not a ton of Tier 1 wins. But if we, for those of you who are
Northern Florida,
I only have Tier 1 losses and nothing else, like, that's certainly good. 2-4 on the road, not great. Strength of schedule is fantastic.
So, David, what do you think about this? The Florida pick in here, maybe Oklahoma, maybe somebody else belongs in.
I like the Florida pick. I actually like Texas Tech. I mean, I know that they're empty calories on their resume, but so is Arkansas, so is Indiana, and so is Stanford. And at least Texas Tech has one piece of good, healthy meat. So I kind of like them on this line, really above all four of them.
Stalika, let me pull Texas Tech up here on the left-hand side. And do you agree with them? Do you like this Texas Tech team that has beaten Louisville and nobody else is going to be in the NCAA tournament?
It's going to be like a one piece of healthy meat and a lot of junk food.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to keep pulling them out, but if you want one healthy piece of meat and a lot of junk food, let's put Stephen F. Austin in.
We're talking about a lot of junk. Like, Stephen F. Austin's junk food, what they do is they take a candy bar, dip it in butter, and cover it in sugar. I mean, it is just an entirely different level of junk food.
I'm not making a serious argument for Stephen F. Austin, but Slicka, do you like Texas Tech here? Is this where they belong? Especially with coming off the TCU loss the other night.
That's one reason why I probably wouldn't have had Texas Tech until about the 10 line right here. But
well, this is about the 10 line.
We're on the 9, and they're not only under consideration. So. Yeah.
But if I had to argue for another team, I'm kind of waffling between BYU and Virginia Tech, but I'll probably give a slight edge to Virginia Tech right here because BYU, I think they have more quality wins, but they also have more bad losses as compared to the Hokies right now.
I'll tell you what, I think we're going to go ahead and leave this 9 line alone, especially there's so little room difference between the 8, 9s, and 10 seeds at this point. David, why don't you tell me who the 4 10 seeds are? We do have 4 teams under consideration.
Okay, I'm trying to make sure I don't lose track. Texas Tech is not in, right?
Not in yet.
Under consideration. I have them, a team that Stalika just mentioned, BYU. Here's a team that I'm going to pull out, and I know it's going to be surprising because you know how much I love their AD, but I have NC State up here and Virginia Tech. Two teams that weren't – well, Virginia Tech was under consideration.
So you don't have Oklahoma in yet?
Not yet. Okay. I there's another team I have ahead of Oklahoma. Oklahoma's next. There's another team I have, and then I have Oklahoma next. Okay. And I really wish I
Well, you can put a team under consideration if you want.
Okay, the team under consideration, and I like them. I need time to talk about them, but we'll get to that in a minute. Is East Tennessee State?
Oh, okay. That's not where I thought you were going. East Tennessee State. So, but let me touch on what do you think about this? I know you like Texas Tech, but what about BYU, NC State, VaTech here?
I like BYU and NC State mostly on metrics. Obviously, NC State had a big win against Virginia, but frankly, like, who hasn't had a big win against Virginia this year? The Hokies, I'm not loving their metrics. Decent, just not great. I would throw Memphis under consideration with a huge asterisk being James Wiseman at the door. If there's any team to rival Ohio State's free fall, I think it's Memphis. I think theirs can be more readily explained because they're missing Wiseman. Unfortunately, my understanding of the committee in March is that if you lost games without a player for injury, suspension, whatever, and he is coming back, then you don't get dinged as much because you weren't at full strength, but you will be at full strength. But since he is not coming back, then they will never be at full strength. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
That's my understanding also, that they will treat them as the team without Wiseman because he's not going to be back.
They won't even look at it. They didn't do anything when he was there other than win bye games. So the fact that Wiseman is not a factor.
Frankly, he's just going to be a blip on the radar, in other words.
To your point, Tytel, and to your question, they take that into consideration when it comes to seeding a little bit. But I think when they factor in injuries and suspensions, I think it's more so for measuring the values of wins and losses. Like, obviously, if you beat a team – that's really good, but that was missing a key player, you're not going to weight it the same as if they were at full strength. I think it has more to do with evaluating wins and losses than it does, like, a team and what they did with or without somebody, if that makes sense.
Let me ask you about the last thing, though, there, Tytel. How about his pick of VaTech? Do you think they belong here?
Beating Michigan State any year is huge. Beating Syracuse normally every year is huge, not so much this year, even though it was on the road. I like
that. They lost them at home.
Yes, by 2 points. I like that they don't have a ton of bad on the resume. I think that my logic – I also like one of my many theories is that if you are head-to-head beating somebody that you belong in, so if you have NC State already in, then I would argue that since VaTech beat them by double digits, they should be in. Any year that you beat North Carolina in the past would be higher than a tier three. They picked the wrong year to beat them, albeit by 2 points. I think it's a fair argument, but yes, you're highlighting the big, big hole in their resume.
Yeah, non-conference strength of schedule 319.
That is a problem.
Also, do us a favor, Chad, and pull up the NC State profile because this is not a team that we've really discussed at all during the first three versions of the bracket rundown here.
I like it. I mean, I think that winning that game at Virginia just makes that profile look so much better, though, even if it's not a team that an NCAA tournament Virginia team.
And they've been kind of quietly building up a resume, three true road wins. The win at Greensboro, while not on campus, was still – this is a Greensboro team that won't lose many games at home, I think. They deserve some credit for that. The win at Virginia, a lot of not really good but decent on here, and not a whole lot of bad other than, you know, loss at home to Georgia Tech.
Let me quickly throw up here, David. You mentioned that East Tennessee State team. Yeah. I want to throw up another profile also. How about DePaul? I mean, maybe not quite yet. Maybe kind of as an under consideration at this point, but the Blue Demons, after they look like they're going to fall apart in Big East play, really pounced back with that Butler win.
Yeah, and really.
To that Iowa win is a team we've already put in. It was on the road. Texas Tech, we've already put in. They've beaten.
Yeah, the top of their resume is really good. And, yeah, it did look like they were going to fall apart with the four losses, especially with three of them being so close. And then they had the huge win against Butler, and then they fell apart. But, I mean, you can't look at one game. But, yeah, I really like this. I mean, the wins at Iowa, at Minnesota. Minnesota, a home court hero. So, while they might not be a tournament team, I think they deserve a lot of credit for that win. Texas Tech at home. I mean, there is a lot of good on this resume. They need to string together some conference wins. I think they will. It's nails on a chalkboard when you look at them being 1-5 in the Big East.
This is another unique thing as it relates to DePaul because those are the only games that Iowa and Minnesota have lost at home all year.
That's a good point. And Ty, let me ask you about the team on the left there. You are a selection committee guessing expert.
I don't think the committee would take that. I want to make that clear. This is my pick.
But you've got that win at LSU, so you have the one big win, nothing bad, a solid win at Greensboro, not a name brand team, but it is a tier one win. What do you think of that?
I think it's about time we do start talking about them. I'm glad David brought them up. As far as LSU being the comparator, like I'm so wanting to get Liberty in here. Obviously, losing at North Florida on Thursday, which is tonight,
killed
their resume and probably killed their at-large chances.
I think they're done.
On their resume is a loss to LSU on the road by 17. Obviously, when a team can beat LSU by double digits versus a team losing to them by double digits, I think that was why ETSU gets the edge. And when you look at, the non-conference rate of the schedule, especially compared to, the Hokies, is insane. They're good on the road. They still have a chance to get a couple of solid, I don't know about tier one wins, but at least high tier two with Greensboro and Furman. And then if they trip up in the SoCon tourney, I think they will be under consideration.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead. We're going to go ahead and leave the 10 line alone. And Salika, why don't you give me the 11 line? ETSU, Oklahoma, Memphis, and DePaul are four teams that we have discussed a little bit here at this point.
That's my 11 line.
I'm just going to go ahead and skip over Memphis because I would have had them on my list here, but they keep falling further and further down. But we haven't brought up St. Mary's yet, but I think it's time to at least give the Gaels a bit of a mention here and put them on the 11 line.
Okay, it's got St. Mary's, three more.
I think we can get Oklahoma and DePaul in here because they have also been mentioned previously.
And are you going to go ETSU or are you going to go somewhere else?
I was tempted to go with Tennessee right here, but they don't have a win against a short tournament team yet like ETSU, so I will actually go ahead and give the nod to the Buccaneers here.
So putting those Buccaneers in, put Tennessee under consideration because you mentioned them.
I really like this pick. And one of the ways you can pick on an under-the-radar team is, they don't have the wins. Well, they don't have the opportunities. This is a team that has a win despite very few opportunities. They have more than what Tennessee has, who's going to have multiple opportunities.
Well, we've just discussed them for a bit, so let's talk about a couple of the other teams, though. Yeah. And Tytel, let me ask you here. You mentioned Memphis earlier. I put them up there on the right. St. Mary's, who Salika just put in with those two Tier 3 losses on the left. Did he get it right by putting the Gaels in?
I think that the committee will agree with them because of the aforementioned Wiseman for Fluffle. I like that Memphis, even without this super-duper star, has not a ton of bad on their resume. They almost beat Georgia. I think they would have if Wiseman was still on the team and healthy and all that good stuff. I know. Losing my
okay.
Wiseman doesn't exist.
It is a glaring hole in the resume. And St. Mary's, obviously, it's not great to lose two Tier 3 teams, but, Santa Clara was 1 point and is a great team this year. Pacific, I believe that was the quadrupler. So, you can explain them away. Dayton, obviously, is a fantastic loss. I think that John is right. I think it will be St. Mary's.
Okay, then I think we're going to go ahead and leave John's line alone here, amazingly. And we've got two teams left under consideration, Tennessee and Memphis, of all things. But, Tytel, we have three at-large spots left in the field here. So, why don't you give me your next three teams? Let's go ahead and do it.
Good Lord. I'll go Liberty. I understand that it killed them to lose tonight by a point, but, they're still at decent numbers. And to be honest, if they win the rest of the regular season games and lose in the conference tourney final, I forget the record for a team with the most wins to ever miss the tourney. They might be a 30-win team and still miss out on winning a conference.
Yeah. And, it's kind of funny because I think that Liberty does get here above the last couple at-large teams if they win out, including winning the conference tournament, which I think they will do.
Right. To give you a reference, John, Mexico State won 29 last year, and while they didn't miss the tournament, they did end up outside the bubble, and that was a team whose profile was infinitely better than what Liberty's going to end up with. If you're looking at at it categorically. I understand the profile's not everything, but when you watch Liberty play, at least this year, they just don't look it, at least not to me. I don't know how many times you've seen them, and maybe I've just caught them on the wrong nights, but they don't look like an NCAA tournament team to me.
Right. Well, why don't we get a couple more teams here? We still have three spots left, actually.
An at-large tournament team. Yeah. They certainly look like a Big South tournament team, but or ASUN. Sorry, I'll shut up now.
Thanks. So I would say that of the coin flip between the two schools in the state of Tennessee, I'll go with Memphis for a couple of reasons. One, head-to-head, they beat Tennessee back on December 14th. Secondly, in that game, Lamonte Turner was playing for Tennessee. James Wiseman was not playing for Memphis, and Memphis still beat him on the road. Put in Memphis, please.
Okay, got Memphis in. I still got still need two more from you.
I don't want to steal all the 12-1. I thought it was just
Okay. Then let's go ahead and we got two of them there, Liberty and Memphis. We've kind of discussed these teams already. So David, why don't you give me one, and then I'll Sleek give me the last one.
Okay, the one I'll give you is Syracuse. They've won four. They're kind of starting to piece together a pretty good resume. They've won four in a row. Three were on the road. I kind of like what they're doing here.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's put two teams up to debate. So, Sleek, give me a team also. You can go Tennessee or go somewhere else.
I think I will go ahead and add the Vols at this point right here.
Okay, we got. So let's take a look at those two teams here. Syracuse on the left, Tennessee on the right. Syracuse, a lot of losses out at seven. The Vols. Plus, the Syracuse has the worst loss with the Notre Dame loss, although it is a name brand. Sleek, do you think he was right on the cues? Okay, go ahead.
Based on what happened tonight, as much as I would enjoy Syracuse up here, I think we need to get Minnesota up here instead.
And that was the team I wanted to bring up here because with the win tonight, and this is a very recent thing, that you put in – two wins over Ohio State and a win over Penn State.
I would like to point out that Chad just criticized Memphis for a lot of losses and then nominated a team that has more losses.
But has better wins.
Do they, though? I mean, Ohio State at home is
– I'm not Ohio talking, State I'm talking exactly Ohio State. A road warrior. I'm talking Ohio State on the road.
Okay. They've got the best win, but at Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, at Georgia. I mean,
and I think Memphis belongs in the field. I just didn't think they belonged in when we first mentioned them. I think we have it right now.
Memphis. Okay, never mind. Okay. I was comparing them to Syracuse.
Okay. Tytel, Minnesota, Syracuse. Where are you leading?
If you like home court heroes, obviously Minnesota is like that. But, no, this is a huge win. When you're sweeping the Buckeyes, I think that I agree with you, so I would get them in.
You put them in too. David, you want to defend your Syracuse pick, or should we bounce them for Minnesota?
No, they have fewer losses than Minnesota. They've got way more on the road than Minnesota, and they've beaten not just – well, the win at Virginia Tech. I think that the four outweighs the one win at Ohio.
Can we look at metrics? Can we look at the fact that we're looking at
– No.
At non-conference,
no, schedule
49 versus 168?
I don't want to look at those. They do not help my case.
A 43 net versus a 69 net?
Well, than that, it's a sorting tool.
I agree with you. I think Syracuse is there, like right very close. I just think that they are half a step behind Minnesota after tonight, and that could change again. No, next game Minnesota plays if they lose it. That does complete our at-large. We only discussed Syracuse. Is there anybody else? Let me ask each of you. Let me start with you, Sleek. Is there anybody else that you think is close that you do not think is in right now, but might be on the doorstep?
I think a close but no cigar would apply to Purdue right here, but by the same token, they're now up to a 10-9 record, which is going to be a lot of losses categorically.
Yeah, they are. Tytel, anybody else you're looking at this point?
I was going to say Purdue, but if you talk about schizophrenic resumes, theirs is ridiculous. As much as we don't love the A-10, I think that VCU and other teams, maybe Rhode Island, I don't think Richmond, and now not Duquesne, I think the second-place team in the A-10 is going to pile up some Tier 2, maybe not Tier 1, but a lot of Tier 2 wins between now and March. So VCU is my pick, but it could be any of three other teams.
David, how about you? Is there somebody else that you think should put up the board there?
They've been slipping a little bit, and they haven't really done it much on the road. Washington kind of trending in the wrong direction.
And Washington just lost tonight at Utah, so
Not
discuss somebody else.
Yeah, okay. The other ones that I would kind of look at, and I don't really know the order, but Georgetown, Oregon State, and they're nowhere close, but like when you, I think Alabama, who's 7-3 in their last 10, if they go 7-3 in their next, I don't want to make that. But I'm saying that I think they're playing at a tournament caliber team, and the numbers in the end will be there. But no, I'm not. The way we're doing it, if the season were ending today, no, they would not be.
Okay.
It, but
I have a couple other teams here. I think Georgia is a team that Mike has a chance to get back in there. I don't think they're there right now.
Yeah.
And I don't. I just say don't sleep on the Miami Hurricanes. Their metrics are not bad. Their overall record is not awful. I mean, I guess their Ken Pom is pretty bad. Their strength of schedule being fourth in the nation, though, that was there. And I don't think that they are there. I think they're 10 to 12 teams out. But it's just a team that I just haven't been able to say this team is done and dead because they don't have the bad loss. They do have one nice road win at Illinois.
Yeah,
they'll have the chances with all these upcoming games against some solid, not great, but solid teams.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Okay. On that note, though, let me run. Let's go ahead and fill out the rest of the field. How about that? I'll fill in a couple more teams here. Let's put Northern Iowa in here at 49. I'll put Stephen F. Austin here at number 50.
And Chad, you breeze through this kind of fast. Say I'd like to hear more about these teams. How could I do that?
Look at last night's Under the Radar podcast. Oh, you can just scroll down there. Yeah. I start with Akron and the 13 line, Yale, Vermont, all the way down to Norfolk State there at the bottom of the 16 line. But on that note, I want to go through each of you for any final thoughts on what we did here and anybody else you want to discuss briefly. Sleeka, let me start with you.
I'm praying that Sunday afternoon is going to be the beginning of the annual McDermott regression, because that would fill a huge hole for Xavier with a nice road win, because we have not discussed the Musketeers all night, and frankly, a good reason. I mean, granted, this year, just about all of their Big East losses have come against the top tier, which is now going to be Seton Hall, Villanova, Creighton and Marquette, with a few wins sprinkled at home against St. John's and Georgetown. But Xavier's going to have a lot of work to do. But as we've seen with the bubble muck here, it is not too late for the Musketeers and other teams to build their profiles.
Very true. There is definitely enough time for many teams that we didn't even list on here to make a move. And we do see, it tends to be almost every year, there's somebody that makes a move, starts making a move around this time of year. Tytel.
My final thought regarding our work tonight is that for all of the ACC's troubles this year with Carolina and Virginia and just a mess, these traditional powers who have been horrible, we have two teams in Florida State and Duke who are certainly far from perfect, but are both in contention for a one seed. It just shows you that as much as I think the Big Ten's the best conference this year, like the top of the ACC per usual can hang with the top of any other conference. As far as the final thought in general, I think that I'm glad to see tonight that Tennessee and UConn have gotten the women's game back on. It was the biggest game in the sport for most of the 90s and 2000s. It was discontinued in 07. They have the great players and coaches and championships and legacy, so I'm glad to see that it's back, and I hope that they keep doing it, because as David likes to say, like, there's nothing better than a good rivalry game.
Yeah. I would just follow up on your ACC thought there. Louisville is definitely not out of the equation for a one seed also, amazingly enough. But David, let me turn to you now for the final thought of the night.
There's a couple teams. I mentioned Alabama, and I think another one might be Cincinnati. When you look at how much better they've been playing in the last couple of weeks, A, and then B, what's ahead on their schedule. Decent to good opponents that if they were to win those, suddenly their profile is really going to improve. Every year you see it. Every year there's somebody that isn't even being projected into the field in mid to late January that comes thundering down the stretch. Could it be one of those two? Will it be somebody else that's just way off our radar, like a Providence or somebody like that, that just really, really gets hot. I don't know. But
should we say TCU even off of that win over Texas Tech?
Potentially, yeah. Potentially yeah. them.
I think Syracuse might be that team because
they may be
came out of nowhere this week.
Yeah. Syracuse, but you know, a couple wins, a couple more wins, and we maybe have them in there by next week. I think they did end up being our top team out. But yeah. On that note, I'm going to pull this down here. And for those of you that want to see the final bracket and what the matchups are and everything, just take a look down below now. If you did it earlier, you wasted your last hour.
You ruined the entire show.
But on behalf of John Stalica, David Griggs, John Tytel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back again next week with a lot more content and a lot more podcasts.